This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
It's really a special morning for me. Get the opportunity to just share a little bit of what I've been learning. Not what I know, but what I'm learning to know about the faithfulness of God. So I'm going to share a little bit this morning about our faith journey that we've been on. Trust this morning that some of it will rub off on you. And as I start this morning, I just want to pray and ask you to agree with me. Lord, we come before you this morning recognizing how awesome you are. But also, we recognize this morning we need to get into your awesomeness. You've been telling us all morning that we need to get into what you have for us. So I pray this morning as we look at your word and talk about faith, that this morning we'll be moving into what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're a note taker this morning, I got bad news for you. There's not going to be much on the overhead to help you. So I'm going to probably share a lot of scripture. Your best chance is just to write the reference down and look at it later, because I'm going to be moving right through a lot of stuff this morning. But let's start with Hebrews 11:1. Most of you know this verse, at least by in part. Now faith is the substance. Don't you love that word? Substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, and so that those things which are seen were made of things which are not visible. Let me read that again. Things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So probably the most important thing I'll say to you this morning is I'm going to say right now. So I hope your ears are tuned. The world says, seeing is believing. The Bible says, believing is seeing. Which camp are you in? Because you got to make a choice. If you're in the camp of the world, you're going to say, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, all the time. But if you're in the Word says, believe it, and you'll see it. Way different worldview. So, let me talk a little bit about our journey. Many of you have been a very big support of our lives for the last 2 years, where our son had complete liver failure. And several times, we didn't know if we were going to see him again. Because, you know, the way that they work this program is that you have to be almost dead before they give you the liver that'll make you alive. And if you're almost dead, then you may not qualify for the liver that will make you alive. So it's a kind of a crazy system. The sicker you get, the more qualified you get. And then the less chance you have of survival. But there's such a demand for organ transplants that we just can't believe it. I've come to a whole new appreciation for the fact that somebody has to give life for somebody else to have to get this wonderful gift of life. And so that's a little plug for organ donors. But anyhow, 2 years we've been believing that our son was going to have a healthy liver. We didn't know whether God was going to do a miracle, whether he was going to transplant, but we had a promise from the Lord that said our son would live and not die, Psalm 118. And some of you have given us that promise. You just came up to us and said, the Lord spoke to me about this for your son. He's going to live and not die. And some of you are here this morning that gave us that promise. I think we got it three or four different times from three or four different people who had no concept that the other person had said it. So a little plug, if the Lord puts something on your heart for someone from his word, share it, because it'll be life to them. It's not just words, it's life. So then about March, I fell and broke my leg. So that's been 4 months. So this week, we got two good reports. My son went to the doctor on Friday, and he said, "You're doing great." Okay? I went to see Bill on Tuesday, and he said, "You're doing great." So got two good reports. But the thing I want to just share with you is that I want to talk about our journey. I call it the journey of faith. So the first thing I want to share with you is the fact that we didn't go alone. We had a lot of support. We had a lot of people praying. We had a lot of people believing. We actually kind of lived on sometimes other people's faith. We just kind of hitchhiked on what other people were believing and saying. And it encouraged us that we had a lot of people who got invested in our son's healing. It's a wonderful thing to have support for prayer. And first thing I just want to say to you, if you're in a journey of faith and you're believing God for something, don't go alone. Don't feel like that, you know, you can tough it out, because you can't. You need the body of Christ. You need people in your life who believe in you and pray with you. And you know, the important thing to realize about that is that the people who will pray for you most of the time have a relationship with you. If you don't have a relationship, it's difficult to get that support, okay? We had probably three different groups in our church that were invested in Steve's healing, that prayed with us and prayed for us. We had people in Oregon, some of them are here today, prayed for us, believed in God's healing. So we didn't go alone. And you shouldn't try either. The Bible says, ask. Wow. Think about that for a second. How hard is it to ask? You know, the world says, "I can do it myself." Some of us have even said that. I've been guilty of that. Have you ever said, "I can just do that myself. I can do that myself. I don't need help. I don't need any. I can do that myself." And what do we discover? We discover that we need each other. Now, does that mean we need to be just like, you know, having somebody else just doing everything for us? I think it's more like sharing the load. It's more like letting people into your life so that they can be a part of what you're going through. And believe me, that has been a really sustaining thing for us in this journey. And I say that because I think that maybe I'm speaking to some folks today when the Lord was saying, kick the wall down, kick down the things that's opposition. One of those invitations is let somebody in. You know, yes, we need God, but he brings help through people. It's amazing. They show up just at the right time. They show up with the right word. They show up with encouragement. So let people in your life. Second thing that I want to share is that we had scripture to lean on. We had promises and we had prayer. Those are two vital things in any faith journey that you're on. We had prayer and we had promises. I'm not going to share all the promises with you this morning, but Psalm 118 I mentioned, and it says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." That's a short little verse. You can almost memorize it. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. It's a great promise for us. Second one is Psalm 41:2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. and he will be blessed on the earth. And you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and will sustain him on his sick bed. Well, that really spoke right to us. It was like we didn't have to use much imagination to figure out that's a good promise for us. That was a good promise, and we hung on to that. And then, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, for the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and will give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. When we prayed for our son, and I think when you pray for your family, and when you pray for people that are that need prayer, they need help, we always prayed spirit first, then soul, then body. And the reason is, there's a part of us that's eternal that's the most important, and there's a part of us that's temporal that is important that we for life here. But if we get the priority right, if we're thinking spirit, soul, and body, then I think we're in agreement with what the Lord wants to do in our life. Because when he brings change to your life, when he brings something to your life, it's spirit first, right? Then it works out into our life and the way we live. So when we hear the Lord, we hear it first in our spirit, and then we move it out through obedience into our life. So we have to develop this, what I call the details that God's in. And the fact is that God's in all the details of our life. But the other fact is that we don't always see it. And we're developing this tuned-in thing to be able to hear the voice of the Lord and recognize that what he's saying to us, and then let that, what he's speaking to us, come out. Another way of saying it is, it's heart first, not head first. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Your head can get you in a lot of trouble, by the way. So let's talk about this. We had circumstances that opposed our faith. When you're on a long journey of faith, you get many opportunities to be sidetracked, get distractions, get discouragement. Sometimes stuff just piles up on you and you just feel like that you're kind of under instead of overcomer. I call that stinking thinking. And it's when we start focusing on what is contrary to what God has said. It doesn't have to be much to get you down the path. Just to entertain a thought that's contrary to what God has spoken to you, and you get down the trail pretty fast. If you have discouragement in your life, if you deal with depression, let me tell you a little something that helped me, and it's this. What I think about today, I'm going to feel tomorrow. So if I don't want to feel down tomorrow, I need to lift up my thinking today. I need to agree with what God says today so that I can feel like tomorrow that I'm an overcomer. You can't think contrary to God's word and feel good about your life as you're living it out. So we got to start with recognizing that we have to take authority over our thought life. You're all probably familiar with this 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. Now think about this in terms of your thinking. For we walk not in the flesh, nor do we war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And this is the verse now, catch this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience. What that says is that when these things come up in your mind, these doubts, these fears, these what ifs, all these things, you're not going to chase those away by just turning on the TV set or just, you know, getting distracted by another thing. You're not going to chase those away unless you take authority over those things. And the way that I believe, well, let me just tell you what happened, okay? Last Monday, we get a text from our daughter-in-law. Now, texting is the blessing and curse of our generation. The first thing that texting does is it gives you information, but it doesn't give you enough information to satisfy you what you want to know, okay? And if you write epistles in your text, who can read them anyhow? I mean, it's just like, so this texting thing is just, now I got to tell you, my daughter-in-law is just great about keeping us informed. She's really great. But I want more. I want to know more. So here's the text we get on Monday. Steve is going into exploratory surgery about 3 o'clock. That's it. Hello. So my mind is going, you know, all these things. And I'm telling you, I, for about 30 minutes, was under all kinds of mental stupidness. Okay. And there's two things that I could do that would stop that. One, pray in the Spirit. And second, confess what I knew God had said. So for about 30 minutes, I said, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Lord, I trust you. If I stopped saying that, all that stuff would start coming back again. It's just amazing how the mind can sidetrack, okay? So what I'm saying to you is that after this all thing was over, what we discovered was that Steve had some kind of a blockage, and they went down through his throat, into his stomach, put a stent somewhere, and boom, everything is good. I didn't know any of this. I'm thinking new scars, new this, you know, he's already had a Mercedes scar across his belly, so I thought, you know, one more is not going to hurt, I guess. And then I discovered all of this thing in my mind wasn't even close to the truth. It was just all vain imagination. Okay. So, when you're in a situation and you feel like you're under fire, it's important that we recognize that we're going to have circumstances that oppose our faith. And those promises that God has given us, those anchors for our soul, those need to be the things that you raise back up at that point. And you need to be able to say to the Lord, I trust you. It's in your hands. What can you do about it anyhow? Can you change anything? Can you make it happen? You got a choice. Submit to fear or exercise faith. I don't think there's any in between. Because if you're not in faith, you're going to be in fear. And fear is not your friend, trust me. Stinking thinking. Anything that contradicts what God has said, that's what stinking thinking is. If it contradicts what the Word of God says, if it contradicts the promises of God, if it contradicts what God has said in your life, if it contradicts what He has promised, it's stinking thinking. Name it, don't do it. Now, does that mean I'll never do it again? No, it doesn't. But it does mean I know what the solution is, right? I know where to go. I know where to find this place of peace, this place of refuge. And it's in what God has said. So when the Lord speaks to you, gives you a promise, gives you the word, you hang on to it. You claim it. You stand on it. Because it's life. Third thing I want to... Is it third thing? Fourth thing. Anyhow. What's great faith? Well, there's one place in the Bible that Jesus calls great faith, and you probably remembered it. It's the story of the centurion who had a slave and came to Jesus, and he said, would you pray for my slave? And Jesus says, sure, I'll go with you. And then the centurion says to Jesus, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For also I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and I say to another, stay, and he stays, come, he comes, do this, he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such faith, great faith, not even in Israel. So he said, what is great faith? It's taking Jesus at his word. It's believing him when he says something. It's not being a great person necessarily, but it's believing what God says. And when you believe it, Jesus says, that's great faith. So what is an example of what we would call little faith? Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 8. First part is the part I shared was, I lost my place here. Anyhow, Matthew 8:8 was the story of the centurion. And then you go down to Matthew 8:23, and you get the story of Jesus and his disciples taking a little boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. You know, lake's great. Let's go for a boat ride, right? So it says in Matthew 8:23, and when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly there was a great tempest. In your words, that's a big storm. And it rose up on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And then the disciples came to him and woke him up and said, Lord, save us, for we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So here's the question. Is Jesus in your boat enough? Is he in your boat? Is he enough? I think he was just saying to these guys, hey, hold it, guys. Do you think it's possible for your boat to sink when I'm in it? Really? Do you think it's possible that your boat's going to sink when I'm in it? And it's like, we never thought about that, Lord. We never really put that together. But that's the question that you and I have to ask when we're going through the storms. Is Jesus enough in my boat? Is he enough? Is my boat going to sink when Jesus is in it? What's the answer? No. It's a good word. We'll get back to that. So the last thing I want to really, not the last, but getting close. Doctors practice medicine, but Jesus is the healer. Now, we have seen amazing medical stuff in our son's life. Unbelievable stuff. When he tells me stuff and I go, they can do that? They really can do that? They can go down your throat and go down there and find something and stick a little thing in there and take the plug out? They can do that? What happened? Well, I got a sore throat. Oh, wow. You going to be okay? Well, yeah, I'm going to be okay, but they may have to go down and put a bigger one in later. And if that doesn't work, they may have to go put another bigger one in later. And I go, really? I never even heard these things. So, you know, here's my point. A medicine is amazing. They can put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but only God can heal him. They put the parts together, and they make it all happen. But the healing is a process that is outside. I mean, we just realize that, you know, Steve went through about 15 hours of surgery. He's going to probably have a year before the doctors are going to say, you're really healed. Now, is it going to take a year for Jesus? Well, we'll see. We'll see. But here's my point. We love what medical people can do for us. No kidding. I'm amazed. But that doesn't mean that we don't still recognize that healing comes from the Lord. He is our healer. Okay? He could have given Steve a new liver without the operation. I believe that. But he chose to use the medical thing probably more for our faith than for any other reason. Because through all of this, trust me, we have all had to lean on Jesus pretty hard. And that probably is the best thing about the whole thing. Now, our hope is that the story of God's working will bring glory to the Lord and release faith in other people. That's our hope. So here's our challenge. I'll challenge you with this. So you pray, and you believe, and you ask God, and he hears you, and he heals. He answers your prayer. Do we thank him as much after he does it as we did before? Or do we just go on? Do we really recognize the goodness of God in what he's provided for us? And does that thankfulness carry us on to the next place that we're going? Because the Bible says it's faith to faith. The journey isn't over. We just go from faith to faith. So I had a dream one time. It was a long time ago. But sometimes dreams just kind of stick in your mind. You know, it's like some dreams just, they're just there. In my dream, I was on a high wire with one of those poles, you know, you balance with. And I'm walking across this wire, and on the down the road there's a box. And I'm heading to the box. And I figured if I can get to the box, I'm going to be okay. So I'm walking on the high wire, and I get to the box. And look ahead, and there's another wire and another box. And beyond that, there's another wire and another box. And beyond that, there's another wire and another box. And it's like I woke up. And when I woke up, it was like the Lord said, it's not getting to the next point. It's walking with me through each of these things. You don't get grace for the box that's down the road. You get the grace for the box that's right before you. The one that you're facing right now, that's the one you want grace for. That's the one that you want Jesus to be with you, because the one that you're facing right now is the one that you need to get to. After that, okay, there's going to be more. But each time we come to a place where we have come to a point where God has brought us to that resting place, we bring with us what he's taught us. And it's valuable. It's valuable to you and it's valuable to me. So my question this morning is the journey of faith over, but my question is, are we in the journey with the Lord? So I have two questions. First of all, are you in a storm? Are you in a place where you're just being tested? Are things just, you know, here's the way I look at it. Would you like to be in more control about what's going on in your life right now? You need faith. Control is not the issue. It's not the answer. Control is an illusion. What you need is to recognize that Jesus is in the boat. If you've got Jesus in the boat, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. It's going to be good. That's the important thing. And if he isn't in the boat this morning, he's only a prayer away. Just ask him. He wants to be in your life more than you can possibly know. Just invite him. And the second thing I want to ask you this morning is, if he's in the boat, are you at peace? You recognize that your boat isn't going to sink because he's in it? Can you just kind of lean back in the Lord and say, I don't have all the answers, and I certainly don't. I don't know exactly what the end of this is going to be, but you're enough. You're enough, Jesus. You're in my life. So, Lord, we come to you this morning, and all of us are in some kind of journey. I know that. We're in a journey of discovery. We're in a journey of testing. We're in a journey of things being open to us. And I just pray this morning that as we are in this journey, that we will recognize a couple of things. You haven't called us to go alone. You've made provision for us. And secondly, you're in the boat, Lord. You're with us. You're in control. The storm has no power over you, Jesus. You have power over our storm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what kind of presentation we could make, what kind of act. I know this, that if you're in a storm this morning, Karen and I have found that there are people here who will pray for you. They not only will pray for you, they'll walk through the storm with you. This is great. So when we offer prayer after service, it's not just because it's a good way to close the service. It's because people need Jesus, and they need people who will walk through them in the places that they're going. So that'll be available to you after the service. Another thing that I would just like us to do is, if you're just recognized, as I talked this morning, that there's stuff that's going on in your life that you just need to give it to the Lord. Worship has told us that this morning. Maybe you've already done it. But if you've been moved in your heart to just say, I just want to step back in the boat and believe Jesus is in charge here, I want to take that posture, then I just invite you to just stick out your hands with me this morning. Just as a gesture of saying, Lord, I'm not in control. My hands are open, and they're open for your touch this morning. And I pray for Jesus, for everyone who reaches out to you this morning, that you'll reach out to them, and that no one will leave this morning without realizing how much, Lord, you love them, and how much you're in the details of their life. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's Word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.